You're listening to the best and only LARP podcast Sweden has to offer. In a special English-speaking episode, we will venture below ground and talk about the gritty future of the human race. And we, who wear exclusively green and sometimes a knitted sweater, are no other than me, Samuel Arimaria Moshke, and...
Alma Johansson, who played Olivia Liv Sundström.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Today is Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we left the bunker Sunday.
Yeah, everything. Around 2 o'clock.
Are you, have you, what should you call it, are you back in action? Have you recovered from your bunker LARPing experience?
No.
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 The sleep rhythm is still a little bit messed up.
Yeah.
I'm having weird dreams about the bunker and also stuff I have to do now in my normal life.
Yeah.
And like mixing together very weirdly. And I still want to be the cool badass motherfucker I was in the bunker and not live in this normal gray fucking life.
Speaking of dreams, my first night at home from the bunker, these moments when you're falling asleep and you know it and the eyelids are really heavy and you're just like, yeah, every time I closed my eyes, I saw the bunker, I was back down and my boss were like giving me forms to fill out and... down in the quartermaster's office. Yeah. Damn, I miss it so much.
Yeah, one thing that really got me was the bunker felt like home.
Yeah.
It was my home for those 3 days, and my mind still thinks it's home. I want to go down there again and live my life there. Have a LARP collective down there. No, that's not a good idea. Scratch that.
It would be great for like... the first week maybe, then it would be horrible. But it feels like we're getting ahead of ourselves. What was Lotka Volterra?
Lotka Volterra was a post-apocalyptic sci-fi LARP.
Yeah.
Some 13 years ago, Nightfall happened. Aliens came and fucking just eradicated all of human.
Yeah, to quote myself, aliens came, said, could you please just die over here in a pile, and humanity was like, yeah, sure,
yeah,
why not? And those who didn't ventured below hidden bunkers and the subway systems and the like.
Because we knew that, we got to know that they didn't follow us down below. That's why we got an excuse to be in a bunker.
Oh, like we needed an excuse.
Yeah.
And during the LARP, what did you play?
I played Olivia Liv Sundström. She was a commander on shift one, and she was the liaison. That means she was the head of... No, not the head of. That was a different thing. She was... she had responsibility for MISCOM, SURF operations, and the staff sergeants.
Yeah.
So everything with the venture above.
And... who were she?
She was a fairly young person. She was one of the youngest ones there in the bunker. She was just 10 when she hit the fan, so she was fairly young. And when she find Haven, who was the big base we had, this was where we was just an outpost called Thermopylae.
Yeah.
When she came to Haven, the big city-ish thing, she was just 17 and she joined Surf Ops. So she was Surf Ops for 5 years before her sister died and yada yada, and then she joined Command instead and got ordered to go to Thermopylae. And now she's there under the command of Commander Walker, who was the Command Actual, the big head there. Yeah, she was fairly alone. She didn't want to have people close to her anymore, since everyone just fucking died. So she didn't see the point of it. So she was fairly alone, which was really hard for me personally, because I'm a really people person. I want to be with people. If I do not know someone in the mess hall, for example, I sit down with people I don't know and get to know them. She couldn't do that. She sat alone instead. And that was really hard for me, to play the lone wolf. Otherwise, I got some fairly good friends, though, in command and in Surf Ops. And it was fairly nice. I love that character. And I love the relations I got and the scenes I got. Who are you?
I played Ari Maria Moschke. And I can say, for one, my first, threshold, the first problem I entered with this LARP was, how the fuck do I... is my name pronounced? Moschke is what I figured out would be true. I don't know. I played in the quartermaster stuff, shift 3, and...
What are the quartermasters?
We were... When you felt like, I need a broom, or a shotgun, or some tape, or a piece of chalk, or another shotgun, you had to...
Or a grenade launcher!
Or a grenade launcher, or an EMP device, or whatever you felt like you really needed. You had to fill out the form, and you came with that form to us in the quartermaster's office, and we said, nah, those things are broken, you can't have these. we were a piece of bureaucracy, words, in a world that really didn't need that.
But they did, though.
Yeah, sure. I had really, really fun in the quartermaster's office. I had fun with all the forms and making people jump through hoops to be handed the one and only shovel, stuff like that. And Ari Maria was... He would probably have liked to be more alone than he were. He had a wife back in Haven and a love interest in Thermopylae. And lots of friends. But among my best scenes are the scenes where I sat at a loading dock in the main tunnel and watched the Surf Ops move out on mission, jump in their cars and load up their guns and go kick some enemy ass.
Ernest don't surf.
Ernest don't surf. One thing about Lotte Volterra that were very fun, we didn't really know each other before we sent in the application to join, right?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
And now we're fairly good friends. All our friendship are built on, oh my god, I found this really nice knitted sweaters and I'm going to throw paint on it.
Yay!
And discussing and making plans. And with that said, I had some fairly huge förväntningar.
Expectations,
yeah. Fairly huge expectations. About this LARP. How about you?
I have learned to not have expectations on LARPs anymore. That sounds so depressing, but it's really just because I don't want to feel like I missed out on something.
Yeah.
And there before I also apply for jobs or something like that I know I will be good at, or I know I will enjoy. For example, I didn't apply for maintenance because I didn't want to sweep rooms every day for my shift. I chose command instead because I wanted to play a high-ranked character. So I chose that because I wanted it to. And for us, so many technician things didn't work. But it worked still anyway. We just had to run a lot more. And that actually made us have more things to do, which was good for us.
Mm.
What was the question?
Expectations.
Yeah, expectations. Expecting for this LARP, for me personally, reached my expectations. I had a good LARP, not every, like I said, not every technical thing worked, but I didn't kind of expect it to, because it was a lot, and I understand we were in a bunker. So for me, every expectations were met. I had lovely scenes, and some of the things got higher, reached higher than my expectations. And it was amazing. For me personally, this LARP was amazing. It was a thrill. All money I put into it, all the time I put into it, paid off.
Yeah.
Everything. This was a LARP I have never experienced before and probably would not experience again.
Yeah. I had really high expectations, but they were kept in check by the organizers in some ways, because I read the webpage and I was like, oh my god, I really need to be in MissCon or I will perish. Mission Command is where I really want to be. And I didn't get to be there.
Yeah.
And that put me down a peg. And then something else happened. Oh my god, I want to do that. And then that put me down a peg. So when the LARP started, I had really not that high hopes in the quartermaster profession. But I had so much fun. But I understand that we should say this. Lots of people did not have fun. This wasn't a good LARP for everyone.
Especially those in MissCon,
yeah,
who relied everything on this technique to work.
Yeah, on computer systems that didn't really manage to work. And I know the people in Intel, which were internal intelligence spy guys, they all their game were kind of all their planned game were very they needed a computer system, they needed the system
of to character check people's personal files
to follow up on stuff like that, and they weren't able to until the last day of the LARP.
Second day
yeah. Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
My second shift, it worked, at least.
Everything just morphed together until...
It wasn't days, it was shift.
Yeah.
And, like, my second shift... it was like, just to brief some of you who wasn't there, my shift was from 4 in the afternoon until 12 in the night.
Yeah.
That was my working shift.
And
then I have my rec time, which was my free time, from 12 until 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I slept 8 to 16. This was fucked up.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I had a really basic... I worked 8 to 4, 8 to 16. 8 in the morning, 16 in the afternoon, 16, and then rec time in 8 hours, and then sleep 8 hours, which were...
The best.
Probably. probably the best. Simply the best! Expectations was the topic, though. But, my expectations were in check. I realized that I knew what I was getting, but I don't think a lot of people did. I got the feeling that some people wanted a action-heavy LARP.
An airsoft LARP
with
the aliens attacking the base, getting in.
Yeah, a lot of inspiration for the LARP felt like Battlestar Galactica, alien movies, that type of gritty, realistic sci-fi. And I realized quite early on that I would not be... If this LARP was a movie, my character, and most characters, almost every character, would not be, have spoken parts in that movie. We would be walking, and I'm surprisingly fine with that. In Sweden, we have a genre of LARPs called village LARPs, which to me means kind of the day-to-day life of a village.
Just just normal, working, low-class people.
Yeah, and this is the best village LARP I've been to all my life.
Yes.
And that I wanted to hang around with my friends in my rec time playing cards. I wanted to have my moments watching other people do cool shit and have a character that felt like I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And I think that wanting that saved this LARP for me. And then again, I know not everyone who had a bad time because they wanted to be Ripley in Aliens.
No.
Some people had huge logistical problems and such. But for me, the LARP was great because I got to be the low-level maintenance guy, kind of.
Yeah. Except you were quartermaster.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I maintain the maintenance. My creed.
True.
I will shout that from a hilltop any day. We maintain the maintenance.
This is cool because we had really different characters. Because as command, I was one of the high rankers. I was class B of getting intelligence and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was really nice meeting people in the corridors saluting me. Yeah. That's a bleed I will have, saluting people when I leave them. Because it was everything we did was saluting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really cool. I have never played a character this high ranked. And it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I got like chills because it was a nice feeling appreciated. Some looked down to you because they didn't care about us low life maintenance guy. But we did. I promise you, we did. And that was also a different thing. I felt like we couldn't LARP as much on our own plots because we were concentrated on giving play to everyone else.
Yeah.
Everyone else, these 300 people being there, which was hard.
I get that.
We needed to give them play. We needed to make decisions depending on the persons involved and not what was logically. So like when one of the maintenance guys, I think what was the name of one of the maintenance guys? It was not Upovich. It was someone else.
Marcus was one of them.
Of them come in.
One of the 80 people, don't remember, came in.
Came in and was like really hurt and stuff like that. And we were like, if we were being logic, we would just kill the main guy off because we don't want to spread anything here. Instead, we gave him to medics and science to take care of. We created play around that character. So that's how we got to think all the time. Not doing the most logical thing, we're doing the things that would create more play. And some people didn't really understand that.
Yeah.
Sadly enough. But I love my shift. Everyone in shift one of com, I love you.
Oh my god, everyone who ever set foot in a quartermaster's office, I am very content, and that's because of you.
To be honest, we just love everyone.
There. Yeah.
Because without you, this couldn't be this experience that we have.
No. Nah.
You are not some background kind of character. You being there in the mess hall made my day every time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
On that note, what was good? If we, like, in the broadest sense of the term, what really worked for you?
The command structure for me, who were actually at the top of the command structure, worked really well. We worked together, we collaborated on stuff we could be able to collaborate on, we respected each other. And that's the thing. We respected each other because we were supposed to be good at it, not because of gender, not because of former knowledge about it or off-game knowledge about something. We just played, and it was awesome. That was amazing. And I also loved everyone else. Like, we were a military outpost, and that showed like the uniforms. Oh my god, they were amazing. I really loved that everyone looked the same, but still trying to personalize their outfit.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I loved being, this sounds like such an ego boost, but I loved being saluted in the corridors because it was supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
It was believable.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. That was the good part.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the look of it all.
Yeah.
There felt like there were a great deal of hours spent figuring out how things would look.
Yeah.
And making sure that things would follow those standards. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like any player stepped off from the plan of having... Yeah, the plan... Style guide.
The aesthetics?
Yeah, the aesthetics. Which were really, really nice. I really did not expect this type of uniformity. And it was fantastic. And it was there in everything from the blank... the forms we handed out in the quartermaster's office to the... jumpsuits the science personnel were wearing, and everything, the helmets the Surfops teams were.
And can we just talk about the food?
Yes, we can talk about the food. Damn right we can talk about the food. The food who always managed to look like some type of disgusting sludge.
You get in a post-apocalyptic...
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It was so delicious at the time.
The corn soup is my favorite.
Oh my god,
I asked for the recipe. It was so good. Thank you, everyone in the kitchen.
Oh my god.
You are the unsung heroes of our time.
I wouldn't even call them unsung. They're well-sung heroes. Yeah. And they only need more. Yeah, sing a song for the kitchen staff. They need it. And they deserve super great food.
Yeah.
And on time. Almost always.
Yes.
Nothing like waiting 2 hours because the food is late. The food were on time, early, or in some cases, as I understand it, half an hour late. But that's nothing in LARP food. Oh my god. Yeah, love those guys. Great food, great everything.
Yeah, the aesthetics were great, and the taste was great. That is a amazing match.
Yeah, yeah, and totally. The one thing that stands out when I look back right now at LARP as being really, really cool was the EMP gun, which were, oh my god, it must have weighed like 20 pounds easily.
They had to be two people to handle it.
I handled it some, not used it, but like gave it to people. And we were like 3-4 quartermasters handing it over to some poor schmuck going topside. And super cool, super, really, really aesthetically pleasing to look at. Really didn't work that well, as I got to understand it. But
I also know that it made scenes.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it didn't
God,
work.
Yes. God, yes.
Like meeting this gross ass, I've been retold this, meeting this gross at Puppet Master who has 6 legs and works really fucking gross. And then just, here it go, click. Click, 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 click. Just panic attack.
And we got lots of play out of it not working during the day shift. Day shifts were otherwise kind of boring because there were no surface operations, and a lot of play came out of maintaining the EMP gun, having some science personnel down in the quartermaster's office fiddling with it.
I need to ask you a question.
Yes.
Were you in on the deal that science would be the reason everybody would be dead in the end?
Nope.
What? Everyone, at least in the quartermaster, in the command room, was like, science gonna be the dead of all of us.
Oh, yeah. I get why. I made sure to. One of Marshka's character kind of flaws was that he kind of enjoyed the most of things. He liked the food. It was better than no food, and he really enjoyed having food more than having no food. He rarely complained if he hadn't, and had friends in every part of the bunker when the game ended. So I made the most of not trying to backtalk the science personnel.
We had this lovely, I don't know if we could get a picture of it maybe to the episode, but we had this lovely days since last fuck up.
Yeah.
A major incident, I think it's read, and then statistic of major fuck ups, and then almost every like branch had their own tally mark behind them, how many times they screwed up. Of course Command had none.
Nah,
because we're not the reason of screwed up.
You never screwed up.
No. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. It was like 7 days. When we started, it was 4 days since last major incident. Mm-hmm. Then it just pendled between 0 and 1, 0 and 1. Because everybody just fucked up. It was amazing.
Ooh, damn. Okay, let's move on. Do you... in short, did you have which was your best scene during the LARP?
Jesus, I didn't have like, oh my god, I will remember this forever scene, but I have some really really good scenes. One of them was at the end. This LARP had one of the best endings that emotionally impacted me.
Yeah,
and it was where. Standing there, we have collected some kind of egg, who is a community device the aliens use to connect to the mothership.
Yeah.
This egg needs to be transported to Haven for further analysis. You can sign up for 3 missions or none of them. One of them, the last one, was a decoy mission. We would really just draw all the enemy's attention towards us so everybody else could go find to their different missions. So we were basically giving no weapons, just things that sounded and lit up and stuff like that. And my character signed up on that mission. And the most, she was really confused at the start, but then she locked the eyes to a former surf buddy. And they had promised each other to change the world. But then she traveled up to Kumar and he was still back at surf ops. But now they could lock eyes and realize now we could actually change the world, maybe even save it. And it was with tears in my eyes and a smile on my face. I saluted him and made a fist bump and was like, we're going to do this. And now I'm getting goosebumps just telling it. It was so amazing. It was one of the most emotionally impacting scenes I have ever had.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
My best scene was during the Friday. There were a code blue. And code blues were, everybody shut the fuck up, because we have enemies like right south the gate trying to...
knock on the door.
Yeah, they're really looking for us right now. Stay down, stay quiet, arm the fuck up. And so I end up in the shooting range... together with one of the surf op teams, and this surf op team were armed with sticks. All they had was sticks, kind of good sticks. They could have beaten me to a pulp, but when the enemy would enter the doors, it wouldn't suffice those sticks. And I start to have Ari Maria Moshke falls into one of a panic attack. Kind of deal, and oh my god, we're gonna die. I'm crying on the floor, mouthing the words to Eastbound and Down, and it's really hard. It's great play, and I feel like me playing vulnerable makes the people playing tough seem way more tougher, and I really enjoyed that. This draws on, and I end up an hour later, somehow, I end up in the counselor's office having a counseling session, and she the counselors talk to me, and one of them, she's like, yeah, yeah, you have two choices right now, Moshke. You either open up, you grieve, you start a grieving process, you go to the memory photo wall thingy.
And wall of tears.
Wall of tears. And you try to move past your past traumas. Or you build a stronger box to keep everything inside. And I think you should build a stronger box. Because we really can't handle this shit right now, and we fucking need you.
Oh, this is beautiful.
And it took me by such surprise. And whoa! And yeah, really amazing scene. I got a lot from that. Thank you to Johanna Koljunen, who played that that counselor. It was super awesome scene. And by that, I think we should move on, because you're not the only person I've talked to about Latkul Terra since the LARP ended.
Oh my god!
Whoa! What a huge surprise! during the after party, I ran around and talked to some people about their feelings post LARP, what was good, what was bad, and such. And we will, yeah, here they come! Look out! Okay, who am I talking to?
Virva Vuopala.
And you're a Finnish LARPer?
Yes, I'm from Rovaniemi.
Is this your first Swedish LARP?
Yes, actually, this is my first LARP abroad at all.
Oh!
Yeah, all my previous games have been in Finland.
Who did you play?
I played Ava Lemnitzer. I was a quartermaster on shift 3, which was the day shift, supposedly the most boring one.
Yeah? Was it?
Kind of, maybe, when compared to some of the stuff that went on the night shifts, but
yeah,
I had fun.
Okay. what were your expectations?
I was mostly signing in because, post-apocalyptic bunker thingies, this sounds like so amazing, and I got a bunker and post-apocalyptic things, and yeah, I try to not build my expectations too high, because I have a tendency to then just crush down everything, but I think this filled all the things I was hoping it to do.
What was bad?
I'm trying to think of something, but honestly, right now, I'm still flying so high. some of the the rec room thing did not really work out. Some of the stuff that, or the actual organizational things that we did not really know what we should be handing out. Could we hand out this one? And if this one works, and how does that one work? And who should we this? Should this be given out to anyone or who and blah, but it was mostly minor stuff that we could really easily play around, I felt.
What was good?
Everything else. I really loved the structure of the game and the three shifts going on all the time everywhere, and kind of this organizational structure between the teams also, that you had kind of an idea of who would be doing something, and if someone came to ask something, you should know that, well, okay, these people are the ones you need to talk to, and you could find it maybe there, or maybe them, or something. And the internal structure, kind of, for the game and for the characters, I think that was really awesome. During the work shift, mostly it was people coming in and asking for stuff, and we explaining that, no, we really do not have that anymore, can you stop asking? But yeah, it was logging things that if someone came to pick something up, we would write a form that, okay, this person is getting this thing and do we want it back or not? And when then the people brought things back, we would have to find the form where they originally signed. So it was mostly finding forms, signing forms, looking for things, counting how much we had of anything, and listening to songs. That was really important, checking the mixtapes.
If there's another Latkul Terra right now, would you go?
If a sign up for another game opened up, yeah, probably. No, definitely.
Who am I talking to now?
Well, to no one's surprise, it's Elin.
Hi.
Hi.
Who did you play during the LARP?
I played Anna Wilson in Maintenance 1. Also, side note, a little disappointed that no one did a Castaway reference of Wilson.
I wanted to do that so bad.
I decided that my character was going to be so over that.
Yeah.
And just real annoyed by it, but no one did.
I was really looking forward to someone calling me Ave Maria, as my character name is Ari Maria, and I would like threaten to beat him up, but no one did.
Oh, well, I was the buskill of the team. My quote was, I think, Command wouldn't tolerate this behavior, so neither should we. Shape up. I had my best scene in that regard was I was on rec time, went into rec room, saw three maintenance workers sitting with their hats, and I do that as well. I mean, I went off shift during my shift to do other stuff, but they were playing a card game, and I went up to them going, "Aren't you on duty?" And they were like, "Yeah, but we don't really have anything to do now." And I just said, "Well, there's always floor to sweep." And then I left. And I felt like such an asshole. But I knew one of the players there, and I didn't sort of argue the point, so they could just ignore me if they really didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was that guy. And also, I reported like 10 people to Intel.
Whoa.
Yeah. I had one point where I went, "I should report someone to Intel." And I sort of thought about what had happened during the last like maybe 2 or 3 hours to try to find someone who maybe broke procedure at some point so that I could... I reported myself at one point as well.
Can you describe the work that the maintenance did?
Well, maintenance crew, we had like regular tasks, which was the stuff that we were supposed to do every shift, which was scrubbing down surf ops when they got back into the bunker to make sure they didn't have spores or traces of the dangerous shed on them. So that was done with, we had those face, like you, the thing you do when you weld, you put a plastic thing over your face. And we had brushes and we had like chalk modded flashlights that had a blue like UV thing, so you could see fluorescent things. And whenever we saw something fluorescent, we just shocked it. We also did spore checks within the building. Same thing. So we walk around with this light, and every now and then you encounter something that stands out in the fluorescent light, like paint or whatever, and go, "Oh, spores!" And then just scrub it with chalk. So that was like regular. And we did sweeping. We helped the kitchen refill the water. And we did, we manned the switchboard for the telephones. Then we had special tasks, which was anything that needed to be done during that particular shift. Usually we got those handed from other people. Could be anything from, "Well, there seemed to be water leak in the firing range." And also harvest the algae and the greenhouses over in Science. So you just put algae out of the water thingy and give them to the kitchen, and they actually put them in salads. So we put watered actual food here, and they had crates with earth in it, or what's that called? Dirt?
Yeah.
Where they put actual like carrots. So they bought carrots and then put them in the ground before a game so we could harvest them and give them to the kitchen. People did that. I think that's the general gist of what we did. Something that didn't quite work was that there was no sort of fixed way of how things were supposed to work. Like, how do we in maintenance know that a team has gone out so that we have to be there to scrub them down? We didn't. So the first couple of teams that went out just sort of had to wait around outside when someone went scrubbing, and there's no maintenance, find the maintenance guys and then bring them down. And then we worked out systems for that over time, so that you talk to Ms. Khan and they tell you when teams go out, and then you get an estimated time, and then you're ready with the scrub team and such and so on. But those were things that we had to invent during game,
So the first shift was really chaotic because all of the teams were sort of figuring out how to do it. And then we handed over our shifts and the next people set up slightly different routines. And they didn't overlap always. So to have like more structured, this is the routines of how things are done. Because we're a bunch of LARPers who don't know shit, and we are pretending to be. We're not setting up the colony. We're pretending to be in the colony, just living an everyday life, and actually knowing what we're doing. And that's easier if we could read from a list what we are supposed to know. So that's one thing. And the phones took a while to get started, and I think a lot of the tech never got started for wiring and cable reasons. That didn't affect us so much, since most of our... And what I loved about our jobs was that they were important in-game and not important off-game. I did a lot of spore checks, so I was walking around with a flashlight, walking around, just feeling the mood, and then when I thought, oh well, done with this, or now I really need to go and see this person who I have a plot with, just put in your pocket, go do your LARP stuff, and then you can go back, and it doesn't matter, and I like that.
This brings me to my next question. What was good?
That. our sort of team culture worked really well. We were three maintenance teams of like 20 to 25 people each. We were huge groups in a quite small room. We got a lot of time beforehand. They did that really well. The organizers left a huge time slot for us to just hang out and sort of establish our team and our sort of flavor and routines and how we functioned as a group. So both, I know for a fact that Maint 1 and Maint 2 both had like really strong group cultures. I know nothing of Maintenance 3 because they were working while I was asleep. So that really worked as well. We had sort of like a soccer theme going for us. We call ourselves Premier League because we're Maint 1, and we had like chants and little fist bump stuff. It really works to sort of set culture. That worked so well for me. And it was a really atmospheric game as well. I liked the cold blue. I liked when we went dark. I was in the rec room once when that happened. And the whole place just all lights and everyone's quiet. And I picked up my flashlight, and that was the only light source in the room. It was just a really small circle. And it did feel urgent. Like every sound counted. I like that a lot.
If there were... tomorrow, you get the news. Oh my god, there's another Lot of Terra. Would you go?
If it's here, yeah. Yeah. Although I would probably go as an NPC at that point.
Yeah.
Because I'm big on going back to and working at games that I enjoyed playing.
Yeah, but if anything, you're a special case. But
yeah, but totally. Yeah. Because you can get a lot of different games doing the different type of jobs. I think I could also really enjoy playing Command at this game. I would totally sign up for another. You hear that, organizers?
Yeah, you hear that? Well then, who am I talking to?
You're talking to Hisu. I was playing Zoe Ackerman, Surf Ups Charlie.
And who were your character? Can you describe her for me?
She was probably the dullest tool in the shed, but she meant well. She signed up for Surf Ops out of a general sense of duty, and she really, really tried hard to be good at it. But she was scared of going topside.
Yeah?
And she was scared of a lot of things. It didn't help that she was pregnant. So the Surf Ops would basically go on any missions that would require going outside of the base. That would include routine runs to fix sensors, probably with maintenance or science guys, and then like more precarious missions, encountering possible enemy activity and trying to survive that. Anything that requires outside.
Like, did you encounter the enemy any?
So Charlie had a bit of a rough start with missions that like where the success rate was a bit low. No exciting enemy activity. The last mission Charlie got was quite an exciting one. We were to retrieve an object that belonged to the enemy in order for our scientists to figure out how to turn that into an advantage through like increased knowledge. And Charlie went out. Everybody knew it's going to be dangerous. Everybody knew that there's likely enemy contact. And the send off at the base already sort of boded ill. And when Charlie got back, there were lots of casualties. The mission was a success. We retrieved the object. That was great. But it came at a cost. Personally, I had a really, really good game. So I I'm in the mindset of I really, really like the players that were on the team, Charlie.
Yeah.
Like the dynamic between the players was so nice and so like collaborative and constructive that I'm having a hard time coming up with anything that I would have disliked. I was worried about like the MISCON people and the sort of command crew people because apparently the tech didn't work like it was supposed to, and that meant that they had to reinvent a lot of their game. But personally, like, I just had a great time. There were lots of really nice small scenes when people would just shoot shit in the canteen line, like humans interacting with each other in shitty circumstances. There was a moment when I walked into the Thermos, the cafe, and I found somebody playing a guitar, and I picked a ukulele, and they told me the chords, and I just we just started jamming. That's perhaps one of my favorites.
If you get home, a week passes, and then you hear, whoa, they open sign up for next year's Lotka Volterra. Would you go?
Hell yeah. Like, it would also be interesting to, like, help out with the organizing side. I like things like NPCing and organizing in general, so that would be interesting. But I would definitely consider playing it again. This might be particular to the Surf Ops. That was a really, really great group to play. You have to ask maintenance and MISCON and all these people separately if you want to have a comprehensive view. But from a Surf Ops point of view, absolutely. Like, throwing credit card at screen, take my money.
Thank you.
So, who am I talking to?
Hi, I'm Aurélie. In real life, I'm French, but I come from England, where I've been living for a while, and I work as a lawyer and project manager.
Whoa. Hardcore.
Nearly as hardcore as this.
Who did you play?
I played Commander Walker, who's the outpost commander for the entire base.
And can you describe what a workday was like?
I like that you call them work days when they're run constantly. Work days was chaos riding. As a commander, you've got 1,000 decisions to make, and it's a lot of kind of prioritizing. People come to you with a gazillion ideas. You're trying to spread the play across everyone, make sure the different branches have things to do, try to come up with plots of your own and sort of send them off into the wild for people to enjoy. So it's busy, it's amazing, it's hectic. I feel like I've been here for months, but I also now feel like I could probably run a real outpost if it came down to it. For me, I would say not so much bad. The only thing I regret, but that comes from the type of character I had, is it was so busy that I had no chance to kind of work on personal development. When you're commander, it turns out there's never any off-duty. I think I slept about 3 hours. So that's the only downside and thing I wish I had time to do. But otherwise, it's been an amazing experience. So one of the things I love in LARP is that I have quite a lot of responsibility. So where you're actually learning to do a real job is you start off with a team of people who don't know each other, who've never done this job, and it's a little bit of a clusterfuck. But always by the end of the LARP, somehow LARP magic happens, and you've pulled together as a team. and you actually feel like, you know, you're getting shit done. You can, you've got this. You are handling situations as they fly, and that's, I think that's very exciting, and it's a really magical moment when that all clicks into place.
Do you have any, like, what was the best scene for you?
Can I give you two?
One. Yeah, yeah, go.
I'll give you one, one serious and one comical. I'll start with the serious. So the way the LARP ended was I had to gather everyone together, and they had to all make a big choice about whether to sacrifice their own lives for humanity. And getting to stand up there in front of 300 people and tell them that and watch their faces. And there was one moment where I told them to sit down, the ones who hadn't volunteered. And as they were sat down, I was like, and now look up at the people who are giving their lives for you. And it felt very emotional, and I think I got a bit of chills, even though I was the one giving the speech. And I'll give you a comical one, which is a little bit of light comic relief, when two of my command staff came over telling me we were running out of condoms and pills, and so we needed to come up with alternative methods, and that the quartermasters had designed some alternate condoms made out of bicycle tubing from the tires of bicycles, and I was looking for volunteers to try those out, and that was trying to keep a straight face during this discussion was quite the challenge.
If you go home, a week passes, you log on to the web and you see that, holy crap, they opened the... You can pay more money to come back and do this again, would you?
I would, 100%. I loved it. I would try to experience it from maybe different teams, but just getting the chance to play the sort of command role was quite life-changing, actually, and I think I'm going to walk out of it with more confidence in my ability to take charge and deliver.
Who am I talking to?
Cassandra Sandberg. I played Clark Severny in Logistics One, Kitchen.
And tell me about the Kitchen. You were the not really unsung, the really sung heroes of Lotka Volterra. You made this bunker run more or less on your own. What were your duties? What did you do during your work shifts?
Me? I did... everything that I was asked to do. I did a lot of dishes, heavy carrying, water. We didn't have running water. We didn't have any drains, so a lot of that kind of stuff. Heating water, so yeah, and cooking, of course.
Yeah. How was it planned?
A lot of the things we couldn't plan really until we were here, because we built the kitchen on spot. We didn't have a kitchen, we rented a kitchen. So at first it was just, how do we want stuff in order to be comfortable working? But of course the shift leaders have planned the menus and how much to buy and stuff like that. But I jumped on this project 2 weeks in advance, so I just went with the flow.
What did you think about the bunker experience?
Amazing. This has been so much fun, and just that with all the people and the game set, but also no daylight. It's been confusing. And also because we haven't served breakfast, lunch, dinner, we just served dinner all the time. I thought that it was maybe like 9 or 10 o'clock, but it was actually 3 in the afternoon. So it's been a great experience.
Yeah. What was bad, in your opinion?
No water, no drainage, but we made it work.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fucking heroes.
But also, like, a huge shout out to maintenance, because they went and got the water for us. They took the gray water out. They did a lot. We even had two guys coming in doing the washing up for like 2 hours. So, huge shout out.
Yeah. What were good? What was the best?
the crew, like tops down, the crew. We didn't know each other before, and we just had a really smooth operation, and that was amazing. I came here by myself. I'm living with 10 new friends, so.
Do you have any scene that is particularly, that was good?
We didn't have the possibility to LARP that much because we needed to get the other people food, but I had a really shitty day, so on my off time I went to rec room and I didn't really know what to do, I just sat down in the knitting circle, starting to knit and talking to someone, and we just had a really good just everyday conversation, talking about TP, talking about things we missed from Haven, talk a little bit about politics, and that was really nice, and it really get me back from a shitty day to a good day. So yeah. I appreciate it.
You get home after tonight and a week passes, and then boom, from nowhere, the news is there's a new Lost of Terra. Would you go?
Yes, absolutely. If I could have the same crew in the kitchen, I would go, like, yeah.
Well, that was the interviews. Did you learn something? Okay, yeah.
It was my boss there. Jesus.
Yeah. This is pretty much the end of this episode of Live Podden, the LARP pod. I want to thank all the organizers, all the people who made this LARP possible. I feel like 2,700 kroners was not enough for the experience I had. If I can pay more, I would. And if there were another Lotka Volterra, I would be first in line to serve my duty in the bunker again.
My character's probably dead, though.
Mine's not. I didn't sign up for a stupid decoy mission. I'm smarter than that. I want to live, damn it.
And if you like this kind of LARPs, you should check out Berättelsefrämjandet, who are the ones running this LARP.
That's super true. Check them out on Facebook and such. Shout out to Olle, Sebastian and Simon, who made this possible. Man, you guys are the true Ripleys of Thermopylae.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to leave this Lotka Volterra experience in the immortal words of Hicks, or is it Hudson, from Aliens.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Thank you so much. Bye!